2005. Okay. Let's see, you were born in 1924, so when World War II started in 1939, you would have been about 15 years old, is that right?
I graduated from high school in 42, and I was 18 then.
Okay, do you remember when the war started?
Oh yes, I remember exactly when the war started.
Okay, what do you remember about it?
Well, a bunch of us, we had at the L.A. Nelson house, we would gather there sometimes after school and or other times, and we used to have cheese sandwiches, toasted cheese sandwiches and stuff, and we'd just visit and have a big time.
Mm-hmm.
And that announcement came in while we was there.
Okay, and do you remember what you thought, what your family thought, what your friends or the people in the community thought about the war?
Well, I can remember that it was terrible when they attacked Pearl Harbor. We all remember that. And then I figured, well, I probably know where I'm going after I get out of school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Was there anyone in the community that was opposed to the war?
I don't really know of anyone that was opposed after they attacked us that was against the war, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you said that you knew when you graduated, did you think that you would be drafted or were you thinking of enlisting?
I was thinking about enlisting for a while, but I figured the draft got me before I got enlisted.
Okay, now before you were drafted, were there other young men in the community that had joined?
Yes, there was. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them that were older than I am had joined it.
Okay, and did you, if they came home on leave or anything, did they tell you stories?
No, I never really had that visit with anybody that came home on leave after that.
Okay, all right, when were you drafted?
Boy, you're going to have to. You want to shut that off for a minute? I'll go get my discharge paper.
No, was it 1943?
Mm-hmm,
okay,
right.
I don't need to know the specific date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you and how were you notified that you were drafted?
By mail.
Okay, and then what happened?
I was supposed to report to Leavenworth, which I did, and then a school friend of mine reported the same time I did. And I told them my preference was to get into the Air Force, and that didn't. And they sent me to the Airborne Infantry.
Okay, so I have two questions. Why did you want to go into the Air Force?
Oh, I just had a desire. You know, I thought that'd be a more fun place to be than in the infantry.
Okay, and so what is the Airborne Infantry?
It's a infantry, it's in gliders, they have gliders and paratroopers.
Oh.
And I was in a glider regiment, and we flew in gliders, and then so they could fly them back of the lines and release them, and
mm-hmm.
and then they wasn't paying us extra, but the paratroopers got $50 a month, so I took paratroop training.
Oh my gosh.
So I could get that $50 a month.
Yeah, okay.
And it was rough, but it was worth it after I got through with it.
Okay, so you went to Leavenworth, the physical, and they told you airborne infantry.
I really didn't know I was in airborne infantry until I got down to North Carolina.
Okay, and was that Fort Bragg?
No, it was right next to Fort Bragg. It's Camp McCall.
Okay. And that's where you did your...
That's where I did my basic training.
Okay. And what was basic training like?
Rough.
What were some of the things that you did?
Well, of course, you went to the rifle range and they run you
mm-hmm.
to get you in shape. And big 25-mile hikes and, you know, anything. And then we'd go on maneuvers and there'd be a... You know, make believe one army against the other, and
mm-hmm.
and we just had maneuvers and calisthenics, and just physical endurance. It was rough on you.
Was that the first time that you had been away from home?
Really, yes. It was the first time I'd been away from home.
And what did your parents think about?
Well, they accepted it. They knew, my dad was in the service in World War I.
Okay.
And so they just accepted it as everyday life, what was going to happen.
Did he ever talk about his experiences in World War
I? Not really. To me, he never did really talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he ever went overseas.
Okay.
But.
Okay, so you got through basic training, all right, and then you found out where you were going to go for training?
We went to Camp McCall in Tennessee.
Okay, and first you were in glider training.
I was in glider training, yeah. They did take us up in gliders and fly, you know, and everything like that. And they could land any place.
Okay, and so your training consisted of?
Everything they do in the Army, I guess. Infantry training, basically, except for the glider part of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, the glider, why don't you explain that?
These gliders would hold 15 troops in each glider. And they could put jeeps and stuff like that in them. Of course, then there wouldn't be very many personnel in them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just kind of a frame covered with, felt like paper. Anyhow, when he was pulling you behind the plane, they pulled us behind C-47s. They would just rattle like the dickens. And then when they'd cut you loose, you just soared. There wasn't a bit of noise. It was really quite nice. And they could land them.
Okay, so there was a pilot?
Oh, yes, there was glider pilots.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they had some kind of a steering mechanism?
They had regular flight, ways to fly the gliders.
Okay.
And they tried to get them in a, land them in some of them, lit in trees. They was all right. They didn't tear up much.
Mm-hmm. So did they... Were they camouflage or
no? They weren't camouflage.
Okay, I didn't realize they were that large to handle 15.
Well, the British had some that handled 31 men.
Oh my heavens! Where were those gliders made? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay, so did you actually? You said then you moved on to, or you took paratrooper training also.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I still remained in a glider regiment.
Okay.
So I was basically got my jumps in, and I was got my pay, and I was in a glider regiment.
Okay, what was the paratrooper training?
Well, it was basically the same thing, only they jumped out of planes, and we glided out of there.
Okay, so when you trained, though, they would take you up with your parachute on?
Yeah, well, in paratrooper training, yes, we'd go up and they'd line you up and stand by the door, and they'd say go, and if you was in the middle of the line, didn't make any difference what happened, you was going to go.
What did you think the first time you jumped?
I thought that's a long way down.
But you had to learn to pull the parachute?
No. We had a static line and we hooked up, and when we jumped out of the plane, the static line opened our chute.
Oh, so that was automatic.
Yeah, it was automatic.
Okay.
We did have a emergency chute on our chest,
mm-hmm.
and if our first chute didn't work, we pull our emergency chute, which I had to do one time.
Ooh.
Because I had what they call a May West.
What was that?
Oh, a line up over the lines up over the parachute, make it into two.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed I was passing everybody on the way down. That's not a good thing.
No.
So I pulled my emergency chute, and it fluffed up my face, and I had an awful time getting it out. But
in the training, did they teach you how to guide yourself down?
Yes.
What were some of the things that they told you, or how did you do that, and how did you end?
Well, if you want to go forward, you grab the lines on the front of the chute and pull them down.
Okay.
Or if you want to go sideways, you just pull the edge of the chute down, and it would go drift that way.
Okay. And then did you land?
We hopefully on a good spot. Right. Some of them lit in trees at times.
But did you land and immediately fought, sit down? No.
They showed us how to land. We actually, as soon as your feet hit the ground, you just kind of roll into it.
Okay.
Some of them did like land standing up, but they didn't recommend that.
Mm-hmm. Because you might break your leg or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. How many weeks were these trainings, the glider training and paratrooper?
Now, the gliders, it was basically just every once in a while we was training otherwise.
Okay.
The paratroop training, I suppose, took about, maybe about a month. They were mean to you in there.
How so?
Oh, they tried to make sure that you wasn't going to, if you was going to sure be a paratrooper, and they would run you, and when you got so tired you couldn't do anything, sometimes they'd make you give you 25 push-ups if you just sit down wrong.
And, mm-hmm.
And we had so happened that in our training, our officers took training at the same time. They set up a special school for the paratroop deal. And one day we seen our colonel run around. I'm a bad colonel. I spit in the sand.
That was his punishment?
That was his punishment. And lots of times, if you done something wrong, it wasn't nothing for him to say, give me 25 push-ups. And at that time, I got to where I could do 75 push-ups.
Oh, my heavens. 75, that's a lot.
Yeah, I know. But they had a physical training. We had plenty of physical mm-hmm. training.
Now, when you were training and jumping out, did you have, like, a gun? I mean, did you have...
Full packs? Not... Basically, most of the time we didn't when we was taking our parachute training. Then we jumped with full packs.
Okay. And what would have been in the full pack?
Well, you would have had half a tent.
Half a tent?
Uh-huh. And a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have your canteen. And,
okay.
And I presume we never did jump with food rations.
Mm-hmm.
But they would have food rations in there, too.
Okay. Okay, and that was just... Okay, let me back up. Because the paratroopers, basically, they were going to be jumping behind...
Behind the line. And the glider troops would also land behind the line.
Okay. And so when you were taking this training, did you have any idea where you would go, or...?
No, we didn't have any idea where we was going until we... shipped out, and we knew we went to Boston, so we knew where we...
That you were going to Europe?
Yeah, we knew we was going to Europe.
Okay, so when did you took a train to Boston?
Mm-hmm, troop train.
Okay, mm-hmm. And got on the ship, and what was that was the first time, of course, you had left the United States.
Yes, mm-hmm.
What were you thinking?
Well, you know, when you're young, you don't... You just take everything as it comes, and
mm-hmm.
and I know we went on a big ship, so most of our division was on the ship, and so we wasn't with other ships.
Okay.
Because it was fast enough that we could zigzag, and that's went over that way.
And that would have been what, 2 or 3 months after you joined?
Oh no, that was it. Year after I joined.
Okay.
I took a year's training probably before.
Oh, it took a year's training.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a lot of training. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this would have been in 1944 then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And where did you go?
We landed in England.
Okay.
And stayed there for, and still done training there as far as that's concerned. And then when the Battle of the Bulge broke loose, why,
mm-hmm.
they took us out the airport, and it was foggy, so we stayed at the airport for 3 or 4 days or five, then they flew us over in planes,
mm-hmm.
and they landed us over there and took us in trucks, and we didn't parachute or anything out of them, or the gliders didn't go that way, and then they... took us up, and matter of fact, we relieved the 101st Airborne that was trapped in Bastogne.
Oh, okay.
And because they had been surrounded for several...
In the Battle of the Bulge.
In the Battle of the Bulge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty rough there for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
We lost, matter of fact, in my regiment, in my battalion, they had two battalions in a regiment.
Mm-hmm.
And my battalion was almost wiped out. And so they done away with us, just make it as a third battalion to the other 194th Regiment.
Oh. Okay, was this, now you were just marching in to the area,
mm-hmm.
and the Germans were still holding,
mm-hmm.
and you had to fight and push them back?
Yes, right.
Okay.
There was something I never understood. This is wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you could see dead Germans and stuff all over the area. And the day we was making our attack, when my company really got slaughtered, was they had us take off our overshoes and turn them in. And then we had to go through water and everything else. And really got... They really clobbered my company. Well, the whole battalion really got slaughtered that day. That was before the Germans had got weak enough that they were on the run.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of on the run, but they were stubborn about running.
Mm-hmm. Well, why would they make you turn your overshoes in?
Because they figured it'd slow us down.
Oh. Okay.
I got frozen feet out of the deal.
Well, mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Yeah.
So how long, you said that your battalion took a lot of losses. How many, was it a matter of days?
Well, basically, my company was pretty nigh wiped out all in one day.
Good heavens. How did...
Well, they just... We had attacked the hill, and they were waiting on our artillery when they... First, before we attacked, they'd shoot their artillery in there. But our artillery was falling a little bit short. It was more getting our scouts rather than the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
And then they with their 88s and their mortars and stuff, they really turned loose on us. And then our machine gun, I was in a mortar regiment, but our machine gun regiment, or machine gun squads in our company, they got up there ahead of us, and I think, I'm not too sure, but all of that, them didn't get wiped out.
What were you thinking?
Thinking you got to charge.
Okay.
That's what we were doing. We were mm-hmm. charging, mm-hmm. and we finally overtook them. But, I mean, they brought in relief for us, and finally chased them out, as far as that's concerned.
Did you ever think of not charging?
Well... You don't have much choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You follow orders. You better follow orders.
Did you have trouble, and I ask this of everyone, did you have trouble learning to take orders and to obey when you went in?
Not really. There were some people that did, and then they usually had a lot of details to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, that you would have been... About 20 years old?
19 and maybe 20, probably 20 when we went
mm-hmm.
in. Because I believe I was 21 when I got out.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, that was quite an experience to see that loss of life.
Oh, land, yes, it was an experience. But I don't know how to explain it, but you kind of get accustomed to knowing that this is, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Because it's war.
Yeah, it's war.
Okay. All right. Now, you had you been with the same group of men?
All from basic training right on through, right.
So you knew some...
So really, a lot of good friends, you know,
mm-hmm.
that you make in a year or two time, sleeping in the same barracks. And
mm-hmm. Well, then, when those men were killed, did someone come and... retrieve the bodies and...
They did do that, yeah.
Okay, and... Okay.
Now, if it was possible, it did. But like I say, there was dead Germans
right.
laying all over it.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get back. They were retreating, so they couldn't recover their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, United States Army done a good job as far as recovering the bodies. As of course, if they got pushed back
mm-hmm.
and the Germans were in that area, well, then we had the upper hand really. And when they first started the Battle of the Bulge,
mm-hmm.
they were set up to where they moved fast, and the 106th Division, they just ran clear over them.
Okay.
And finally got them slowed down and stopped, and their supplies weren't keeping up with them, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't near as bad for us as it was the people who were on the front lines when they made their last try to come in to take over.
Okay. Now, when you were there, were there people supporting you?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, how did you eat and sleep and?
Okay. We had K rations or.
Okay, and what
mostly
were
mostly C rations?
What were those?
You don't really want to know. may have been K rations. You had three crackers, and you had some cheese, and you had, I can't remember exactly what, you may have a little can of some kind of meat.
Okay.
And C rations, you may have a can of beans and some kind of stuff to eat that's supposed to keep you going.
For every meal, that's what.
Yes, and also in our K rations, we would get three cigarettes.
Oh.
Or three or four in them little packets they give us. And that wasn't good for us now.
No. But did you smoke?
I did then, yes.
Okay. And did most everyone smoke?
It seemed like most everyone did in the
okay.
smoke. And of course, cigarettes were, when you wasn't in a battle and was in towns in these Belgium or Germany, either one. Well, you can trade them cigarettes for about anything, you know.
For food? And
food or drinks.
Okay. I was going to ask you, you had a canteen full of water.
Yes.
And where would you get the water? I mean,
well, if they couldn't bring water to us, we could get it out of a stream or any place, and then we had pills to put in it to purify it.
Okay. Okay, and where did you sleep?
Out there on the ground. We dig a foxhole.
Okay.
And if the ground wasn't too frozen, we'd dig a foxhole and just get down in the foxhole.
But you had a blanket?
We had a blanket with us, yeah.
It's pretty cold.
Pretty miserable times.
Mm-hmm. Did it seem as if it weren't real? I mean, how did you get through it?
Well, it didn't actually feel like it was. I can't say it was real, but
mm-hmm.
it, you know, you were just there, you've been trained long enough that you just accepted things as they came and
mm-hmm.
and do it.
Okay. Now, how long then were you there? And when you start?
I think probably about a week or two.
Okay.
And then I got sent on a patrol, and my company moved out on me. The regiment had picked so many people out of each company. We was out guarding a line mine, and because there had been some soldiers from another division that had been surrounded,
mm-hmm.
and we was at this landmine, and when they tried to come back, well, we'd lead them through this landmine.
Oh.
And we was out there all night, and it was cold and miserable. And sent, when I got out of there, and I did go, went back to the little town, they'd moved my company to another town, got back there, well, I went, because my feet had been frozen.
Well, that's what you said.
And so I went back. I did, the only other accident I had was a mortar shell, and it knocked about that big a hole in my steel helmet up here, and knocked me out for a little bit, but left a little piece in my head. But outside of that, I was never wounded except for my frozen feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they took me back to the hospital. And
how did they treat your frozen feet?
Well, they just washed them. I don't think they'd done much for them. If depending on how bad they got, sometimes they amputated them if they were you know, bad, too mm-hmm. bad. But mine didn't happen. I just lost some. Looked like I might lose some toes, but I didn't. My feet came out in good shape.
Okay.
And then they finally got me back in England. And
so what, the hospital was behind the line?
Yes.
Okay.
They kept moving you back. The first move was back into a field hospital.
Okay. And that was in a tent or something?
Oh, yeah. And then they moved you on. Moved me back into Paris then for a little while. And while I was, the hospital was so full that I was out in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen a bunch of nurses go by, and I had this one gal, she had to be my cousin. When she first went by, I just looked, because they had slanted eyes like nobody else, you know. And so when they came back by, I says, "Are you Mary?" She says, "No, I've got a sister, Mary. I'm Florine." And I says, "Well, I told her who I was," and so we had a nice visit there. Well, she was a nurse in that hospital.
Oh, my heavens, what a coincidence.
And so she wrote my folks and let them know that I guess I wasn't very good about writing about then.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have anything to write with. But she wrote to folks and told them that she seen me and I was doing all right. And then they sent me on back to England from there.
Mm-hmm. So when you were in France, basically all you were doing was fighting. You didn't get to... When you were in Paris?
This was in Belgium.
Okay.
Where was that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then they took you into Paris.
Mm-hmm.
What was Paris like? You were just in the
hospital? Well, I couldn't really tell you. You're right in there in an ambulance, and you're put in a hospital, and I didn't see Paris.
Mm-hmm.
All I seen was inside that hospital.
Okay, and how long were you in the hospital?
In Paris? Probably just a week or 10 days, and then they shipped me out of there and flew me over to England.
Okay, and were you in a hospital in England?
England, yeah, I was in a hospital in England for quite a while, 3 or 4 weeks or longer than that. I don't remember exactly. Then I flew back over and joined my company.
And where were they?
They were in Germany.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where in Germany?
Hamburg, I think, was the name of one of the towns that we were in.
Okay.
And one thing I missed, which was probably lucky, they made an airborne invasion.
Oh.
And I was in the hospital during that, so I joined up with them after they...
Mm-hmm.
After that.
Now, were they doing it in gliders then?
Yeah.
Okay.
My company was in gliders. Of course, in our division, mm-hmm. we had two glider regiments and one paratroop regiment.
Okay.
So they flew, and paratroopers jumped, and the glidermen came in gliders.
Okay. So basically, you were trained for both, but never actually did either.
Not as far as landing, but in a glider in wartime, no.
Okay. Mm-mm. Okay.
I was lucky enough to be in the hospital when they done that. And then they make contact with the British Army.
Okay. All right. Okay. And then, so when you joined them, they were still marching toward Berlin, or?
Yeah, they were chasing the Germans back to, and after that, the war ended pretty quick.
Okay. So you were over there when the war ended?
Oh, yes. And then we just was in this town, and I don't remember the town, it was Hamburg, or it was close to Hamburg anyhow, but anyhow, it was right along the Rhine River,
mm-hmm.
and we patrolled the Rhine River while we was there, chased people, the German families, out of their apartments, and we moved in.
Oh, okay.
And
so you then sort of lived in
in an apartment, actually. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It wouldn't be like, there'd be more people in one room than it would be in a normal apartment. But
so where did the German people go?
They had to find them someplace else to live.
Oh,
matter of fact, the ones that were in the apartment we was in was right across the street
okay.
from us.
Was that a normal practice?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that was a normal practice. We could, and I don't know if it was fair or not. If I was German, I wouldn't think it was very fair.
Mm-hmm.
But if we needed a radio and they had one, all we had to do was take it.
Okay. Okay, well, it was wartime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then, were you still eating the sea rations?
No. We had our own kitchen.
Okay.
And
the cooks would
fix? Yeah, they'd fix our meals.
Okay.
All right.
Do you remember the day that the war ended? It would have been May, 5th in 45?
It just was a kind of a gradual thing with us.
Okay.
As far as, you know, the deal. And then they shipped us